Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
This is True Crime Cast. I'm Jamie, and John is here too. What's up?
Dude, not a whole lot. Just really excited to talk about some crime with my buddy.
Yeah, and about the Olympics, man. The Olympics time is so much fun. The only time of year that I watch such obscure games and competitions. And I watched a ton of rugby yesterday. Okay. Zero idea of any of the rules, but some teams are really good.
Not going to lie. Didn't know it had already started.
Yes.
How long has it been a thing?
I think it's just been the last week or so before this came out. But South Africa in rugby is really good, and rugby. Japan is not.
Yeah. I mean, I played football, and I felt like that was a man sport. But rugby, that's like that's a man sport.
It is. They are so jacked.
I mean, women can certainly play too. I'm not trying to be sexist, but what I'm saying is, no matter your gender, if you play rugby, you're tough.
You require extra toughness. Yeah, the basketball pool play is happening. Soccer pool play is happening. And all the other obscure sports are starting too. But I love some Olympics. So today we have an Olympic-themed case. But before we get there, I got a couple people I want to thank. A couple five-star reviews that came in over on Apple Podcasts. This is LaceGirl130. Says, such nice guys. I love these two. When I just feel like I need a lift, but nothing too gory and horrid, I listen to these guys. I think that's pretty spot on. This comes from NeneAZ9. You guys are awesome. Love your podcast. Simple and to the point. And my favorite part was the five stars. Thank you, Nene and Lace Girl, for your reviews.
I want to thank Sarah for coming in on the $3 level over on Patreon. And I also want to thank Rose, who came in at the $3 level. Rose took advantage of the 15% discount that you receive when you join at an annual membership. So you pay one time and you're good for a whole year. And then it will auto renew at that year mark. So thank you guys. Sarah and Rose and everyone else on Patreon gets so much stuff right now. We're putting so much content on Patreon. So we're doing early and ad-free content on Patreon. And on the first of every month, you get a bonus episode that is an exclusive to Patreon members.
Yeah, and there's some case. I know one of our most requested cases was Fred and Rosemary West, and that's only on Patreon if you want to hear our take on that one. And there are a few others as well, but that one's the most requested one on Patreon, probably.
And it wasn't intentional. I mean, I don't think we hold out our best cases just for Patreon, although that might be a wise business move, maybe. But we're not going to do that.
Yeah. But they're still good. Yeah. Just kind of what comes.
Every time someone emails, I'm like, hey, it's on this date on Patreon. This is not a sales pitch. I'm really sorry.
Yes. I love your apologetic nature when you send those messages, but you're absolutely right. Not a sales pitch, but we're not going to release it on the main feed.
So guys, we appreciate every one of you for your Patreon support, for your leaving a rating and a review. There's nothing better than word of mouth. Please grab a couple people this week and tell them about True Crime Cast. Your boys would really thank you for it.
Yep, really appreciate all of your ongoing support, and hopefully giving you content you appreciate, like today's case.
I don't think your Olympic conversation was just random. Today we're going to be talking about a very famous crime that happened with a former Olympic athlete. That being said, Jamie, why don't you get the ball rolling?
Oscar Pistorius. So we're going to talk about today. He was born November 22nd of 1986 in Johannesburg, South Africa. Now, he was born with a fibular hemimelia in both legs, which made it almost impossible for him to walk early on. When he was just 11 months old, both of his legs were amputated halfway between his knees and his ankles. John, I went out to a public event recently, and I got behind somebody with prosthetic legs, and we were walking through a long parking lot to the car. And I just kept thinking, man, that's got to, like, to learn to walk is hard enough. To learn to walk using prosthetics just has to be, I don't know, like one of the hardest things you can do. And not only did Oscar do that, but he became a competitor at the highest level.
Jamie, I have a friend of mine went to college with me, and in college we were both you know, able-bodied men. But over the last couple of years, he's had some ongoing health issues, and he's had to become a double amputee. And he's doing a lot of public speaking, so we need to get him on Bless Their Hearts. But he is very, I guess, he puts on Facebook social media posts about his progress and his learning to walk. And it just breaks my heart because you have a full-grown man who knows what it's like to walk and be an athlete, and now he's learning how to walk again with these prosthetics.
Yeah, and like that, Oscar did not give up. He went on to play rugby. Again, you have to be super tough to play rugby. Water polo, which does not involve horses, and tennis. He was in South Africa, but this was kind of at the national level. And he even took up amateur wrestling, which is kind of what we refer to as Olympic wrestling, just not professional wrestling. A serious knee injury while he was playing rugby at college ended up introducing him to running. To rehab his knee, he spent a lot of time just out there trying to build leg strength. And when he started running, he realized that that may be his strength. And he ended up getting some racing blades, a prosthetic that would help to train for running. And he got his training underway to be the best runner he could.
And these are like, these are not just like, they don't look like legs. They almost have like a spring to them, right?
Yeah.
They have a shape that almost propels you forward as you run. Oscar has gone on to win many a gold medal in the Paralympics and even made a top placement in a few non-disabled events, placing among the fastest people in the world in the 2012 Summer Olympics. I remember this. Do you remember watching this?
Yeah, it was wild.
This was not like a, you know, like the, it wasn't the Paralympics. This was the real deal.
It was not a publicity stunt. It wasn't anybody feeling sorry for anybody. He was that good.
He was really at the top of his game and only climbing further and faster. But all of that would come screeching to a halt in the early morning of Thursday, the 14th of February, 2013, when he would be arrested for shooting and killing his then-girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. Reva was born on August 19th, 1983, in Cape Town, South Africa. She was born to parents Barry, who was a horse trainer, and then his second wife, June, and then she had two older sisters. The Steenkamp family would eventually move to Port Elizabeth, where she would attend school at St. Dominic's. Later, she would go on to attend the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University, where she graduated with a Bachelor of Law degree in 2005. Reva began working as a paralegal immediately out of the university and had applied for the bar in 2011. She also continued working as a model, and she began doing that at the age of 14. She started appearing in beauty magazines at a young age and later began working as a live TV presenter. She also appeared as a celebrity contestant for a show on BBC Lifestyle called Baking Made Easy. That sounds like a show that I could really get into.
Love watching baking shows.
Reva and Oscar had only been dating for about 4 months before he took her life.
Yeah, like you said, it was February 14th, so it's Valentine's Day. And on this date, Oscar Pistorius shot through the door of a locked bathroom cubicle in his home, believing that there was an intruder on the other side of the door.
Americans have a different view of cubicle, but this is a bathroom.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, not like you think of
a little office.
Like an office with a half wall with two to three sides.
Yeah. So he cannot see into the bathroom. I think that word for Americans may be a little odd.
Three of the four shots that were fired struck into the person that was on the other side of the door. Oscar realized what he had done, that there was not an intruder and he had shot his girlfriend. So he started trying to break the door down with a cricket bat in an attempt to see what was going on. After finding Reva, he started yelling for help. And one of his neighbors, Johan Stipp, heard him. Johan came over and tried to administer some life-saving maneuvers to Reva, tried to clear her airway. But looking back, her pulse had already stopped before Johan even got over there. She showed no signs of breathing. Her eyes were still and dilated. And from the blood that was on the floor, it was clear that she had been mortally wounded and had bled out. Oscar was taken into police custody. He immediately admitted that he's the one who fired the weapon from which the shots landed on Reva, but he believed her to be an intruder and insisted this was an accident and he was actually trying to protect himself and her. He was formally charged with murder in a Pretoria court the day after the shooting on February 15th of 2013.
The trial would begin all the way about a year later. This would be March 3rd, 2014 in the Pretoria High Court in South Africa. On May 20th, 2014, the trial was adjourned for almost 2 weeks. And this was so that Oscar could submit for psychiatric evaluation to determine if he could criminally be charged in the shooting based on the fear of a mental incompetency.
Right. And this applied directly to the trial. We usually think of this being something that they try to assess at the time of the crime, but this is really so he could understand what happened at the trial, not necessarily to say he was out of his mind in some way during the shooting.
So this evaluation was called for by the prosecution after a forensic psychologist testified to the defense that Oscar had generalized anxiety disorder. When the trial resumed, all the evaluations returned, and they showed that Oscar could be held criminally responsible for this crime. The state prosecutor said that Mr. Pistorius did not suffer from a mental illness or deficit that would have rendered him not criminally responsible for the offense charged. On September 12, 2014, Oscar was found guilty of culpable homicide and then one other firearm-related charge of reckless endangerment related to an incident in which Oscar discharged a firearm at a restaurant. I think this is totally a different continent, different country, certainly a different law system. I want to point out a couple of things. Number one, this is not a jury trial. This is just a judge and right. Then two other helpers. So you don't get a trial by jury there. But then this, these are two totally different charges. The firearm incident in a restaurant didn't have anything to do with the murder. So I think it's interesting that these are being tried at the same time. I don't think that happens very much or at all in America.
Right. Usually they only lump together charges of incidents that happen at the same time or a series of murders over the course of time. These seem unrelated, but I think both kind of go to show his recklessness with firearms in general. So I think they definitely both should have come into consideration. But yeah, I find it odd they're in the same trial.
He did manage to evade two other charges. Those were related to owning illegal ammunition and another incident in which he discharged his firearm through the sunroof of a car. I mean, my God, I've owned guns my whole life and I've never accidentally shot one of them. Now, I don't want to jinx myself, but I mean, you don't just accidentally do this a couple of times. The dude wasn't very careful or was intentionally shooting this gun.
Yeah, it seems to me like it was not an accidental, he wasn't dropping the gun and it going off. He is firing it just kind of recklessly, kind of trigger happy and doesn't understand the fatal consequences until it killed his girlfriend. But you're right, I've luckily never had one gone off, but I've certainly never fired in public to send some kind of message or anything. That's ridiculous.
The only way a gun fires is by pulling the trigger or the there's a pin that can drop to release the right. Hammer, and that would, strike the bullet. And that only happens by pulling the trigger or dropping it and releasing that mechanism. So
right.
There was one time I dropped my gun, getting out of a car, and it was a stupid thing that I did. And it scared me so bad. The restaurant thing, someone was handing him his gun under the table, told him that there was one in the chamber. And in that transaction, the gun went off. Now guns don't accidentally go off. He pulled the trigger.
Right.
So yeah,
completely careless and lucky nobody died there.
Absolutely. On October 21st, 2014, Oscar was sentenced to a maximum of 5 years for culpable homicide and a concurrent 3-year suspended prison sentence for the separate reckless endangerment charge. So culpable murder, maximum of 5 years. So,
I wonder what the charges would have been in the U.S. I don't think this is a first degree murder. I don't think there were evidence that this was premeditated. I wonder if this would have been classified as reckless manslaughter.
I was thinking reckless homicide.
Reckless homicide, negligent manslaughter, something like that. But even those have a much stiffer penalty than 5 years.
So we know first degree murder is murder that is planned out, premeditated. What's second degree murder? Because, the dude knew what he was doing. He said that he thought this was an intruder. Well, anybody with some reasoning skills would know that an intruder is not going to lock themselves in your bathroom. And he said that he felt vulnerable because he didn't have his prosthetic legs on and he had a gun on, around his person. So he thought it was an intruder. He shot through the door and killed him. You and your girlfriend were having an argument and you got hot-headed and shot her.
Yeah. So the difference is it depends on how you define premeditation. So is it premeditated murder if I take a week to plan out killing you? Absolutely. Is it a premeditated murder if you make me mad and I decide I'm going to shoot you? I think that's a tough decision to make because obviously I made the decision to kill you. Second degree murder is basically saying I didn't plan it, but I killed you on purpose. And then manslaughter, I think, is more of an accidental death. So I think you're right. It comes back to the intention of, was he trying to kill his girlfriend or did he really think it was an intruder?
Yeah. Whether you take a week or a minute, I think it's premeditated. I think he knew what he was doing. And I think in America, as an attorney, I'm going to try for first degree murder. It's crazy.
Yeah. And to put the other sentence in perspective, a 3-year concurrent sentence would be serving them at the same time. So still a max of 5 years, but even that was suspended. So he could not serve that at all until later. Maybe that was their attempt to say, if you fire your gun again, you're going to get this extra 3 years later upon whatever else you get. But
I think it's crazy.
Seems pretty weak.
I'm sorry, man. I think it's crazy that you get 5 years for murdering your girlfriend and 3 years for accidentally shooting the floor.
Yeah.
So the value of life there just isn't, I don't see it.
Yeah. So I completely agree. And we'll get into what happened after his sentence, after we take a break, talk about what happened to Oscar in jail and when he was released. Like we said, he was sentenced to a maximum of 5 years, not a minimum, a maximum, in October of 2014. Oscar was recommended for early release in June of 2015. That's about 8 months, and obviously that's nowhere close to 5 years, but it's so minimal. The BBC was told by the Commissioner of Correctional Services that he would not be eligible for release until he had served at least 1/6 of the sentence. At 8 months, you're getting close to that 1/6 mark of your 5-year sentence. And he hit that mark in August. And that was exactly 1/6 of his sentence had been served. And at that moment, Oscar was released based on good behavior and because the correctional system believed he was not a threat to society. He was expected to remain under supervision and house arrest and wouldn't be able to compete in any competition until his entire sentence was completed. 10 months, John, for being convicted of culpable murder. 10 months. It's just absolutely mind-blowing to me.
We talk all the time at the end of our shows whether or not justice was served. But, if he's found guilty of culpable murder, only served 10 months, it's easy for me to say unapologetically that, no, justice was not served.
A lot of times we'll talk about the appeal process when people who are convicted of trying to get a conviction overturned or get a new trial, John. But here the prosecutors actually appealed the sentencing. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, back in 2014, the prosecutors had begun to appeal the original sentencing, citing that they believed it was too light of a conviction and that Oscar deserved more than a 5-year sentence for culpable homicide. And we've been pretty clear that we believe the same thing too. The prosecutors argued that the judge had misused the legal principle of dolus eventualis. I hope I said that right.
I think it's close. Dolus Eventualis is how I would say it. But what does that even mean?
Well, it means that the intent in which the perpetrator can see an outcome as a possibility and continues with it. So maybe he didn't think, or maybe he didn't say, you know what, I'm going to wait till she goes in the bathroom and then I'm going to shoot her. But he could have thought, if I shoot through the bathroom wall and it's my girlfriend, it's going to kill her.
Right. So
is that fair enough?
Yeah. It's basically a very subjective way to measure your intent and your understanding of the outcome.
Prosecution believed that the judge made an error in concluding that Oscar couldn't have possibly foreseen that shooting through the door blind could have injured or killed someone on the other side of it. I mean, my God, man, what's the other possibility?
You and I had to go through some firearm training to get a concealed carry permit. And if there's one lesson to take away from that, it's that you don't fire your weapon anywhere with anything in the background that could potentially be hit that you're not wanting to hit. That goes for target practice. That goes for hunting. The background has to be the main consideration in what you're trying to shoot. And we did it before the shooting happened, I believe. Like, it was around that same time, maybe a little earlier. So it's not a new revelation that you shouldn't shoot into a door not knowing what's behind it or not knowing what would happen. He absolutely knew firing into that door, whoever was behind it, could have been killed.
Right. And, yeah, I really don't understand logically how anybody could argue anything otherwise. On November 3rd, 2015, around the same time of his supervised release, the appeal was heard in the Supreme Court of Appeals. And there were five judges, and they all decided by unanimous decision that Oscar was to be charged with murder instead of culpable homicide. Well, if you do that, does that mean a new trial?
I think in the United States it would. I think we base everything, including the conviction, on the actual charge and those parameters. But in this case, they really just re-sentenced him, and he was not granted a new trial. There was not a new judgment. They just increased his sentence another 6 years. And I'll talk about what that was about in a minute. But what did the judge have to say?
Yeah, let me read this quote. He said, although he may have been anxious, it is inconceivable that a rational person could have believed he was entitled to fire at the person with a heavy caliber firearm without taking even the most elementary precaution of firing a warning shot, which the accused said that he elected not to fire as he thought that the ricochet might harm him. So yeah, he didn't want to fire a warning shot because he was afraid he's going to hurt himself, which is complete bull crap. You just shoot through a wall that's not got somebody behind it or
right
through the ceiling or through the roof, but whatever. But yeah, I agree with this judge, and I'm glad somebody with some common sense shows up in this story.
Even if there was an intruder in the home and they're behind this door, he doesn't know if that intruder has a weapon. He doesn't know that intruder's capability to inflict harm. So I don't think I guess you can make an argument, but I don't think you're at the point of responding with lethal violence to protect yourself there.
And at the end of the day, I wish that we could just have a legal way of saying, dude, what you're saying is bullcrap.
Yeah.
You didn't think it was an intruder. You were mad at your girlfriend and you shot her.
On July 6th of 2016, Oscar was returned to the hospital wing at Gosi Mampuru Jail to serve 6 years of imprisonment. Again, he had a 5-year sentence. He was let out after 10 months. Now they're putting him back in for another 6 years. But the prosecution continued to appeal this. During that appeal, Oscar was transferred to the Adderidgeville Correctional Center, which is a much smaller facility and is better adapted for people with disabilities. So it was able to accommodate Oscar even better, which is great. And I'm glad we have facilities like that. In the appeals, they were trying to worsen Oscar's sentence. They were trying to add more years to it other than these 6 that he was going to end up serving. In 2017, they successfully had the courts increase his sentence by a full 13 years and 5 months. meaning that Oscar would no longer be eligible for parole until at least 2023. And based on this sentence, in March of that year, he would be considered for early release. Oscar's release was opposed by Reva's family, obviously, as it should have been. Her parents were buried in June, and June said she didn't believe Oscar was remorseful at all for what he had done or rehabilitated to where he wouldn't continue to be a danger to society. Despite his parole attorney painting him to be a model prisoner, Oscar's parole was denied, with an attorney for Reva's family stating that we were advised at this point in time that it had been denied and it will be considered again in 1 year's time, which was this past spring. Oscar eventually did get paroled in January 5th of this year, 2024. So at this point, he has served about 8 years, maybe a little bit more, for this murder before he's let out. And as previously stated, he will continue to be monitored and supervised until the full sentence is served, which will be in December of 2029.
I don't think he's ever going to get back to the prominence that he once was, and I'm good with that. And this case is still technically active, so there could still be developments. But for right now, that's where we are. I do want to point out some good things that have happened, if you can even call it that. But Reva is remembered by her parents, and her mother, June, has founded the Reva Steenkamp Foundation in an attempt to prevent similar cases in the future and to empower women and children against violence and abuse. Though she did not want to face Oscar before at the parole hearings, she did tell British television program, it was called This Morning, that she had forgiven Oscar during the trial. And I think that takes such a strong woman to be able to forgive such a monster who took something so precious away from you that can never come back. And I completely agree with her statement earlier that you mentioned, that she didn't think he was remorseful. And yeah, if you had any remorse, the truth would come out. I feel like I could be completely wrong. Since the case's semi-conclusion, two different four-part documentary series have been created about his career and the shooting. And it's an Amazon 2018 show called Pistorius, and then ESPN Films 2020, The Life and Trials of Oscar Pistorius. I think I'm done saying his name. I'm going to keep talking about Reva. Just absolutely heartbreaking as a father. It's the loss of your child is, I think, probably the worst thing that could ever happen to you on this earth. So my heart just breaks for her family and her parents.
Yeah. And I'm always so in awe of families that use this kind of tragedy to make the world a better place, whether that's getting legislation passed, whether that's creating a scholarship fund. I see so many families of cases that we cover try to prevent future happenings of what happened to their loved one. And that's exactly what they're doing here. Now, I'm sure there are details that were shared in the hearing about Oscar's relationship with Reva and what that was like. You mentioned you feel like he killed her on purpose, or he at least shot her on purpose, knowing it was her. And I think deeper insight into their relationship would potentially tell us what that was like and if there was any violence up until that point. But what we do know is that he was very reckless with his weapon. I know there are a lot of countries with much more strict firearm policies that we have here. But I mean, this is a situation where there was no legal reason, if he was in America, to not have a weapon. So this very well could have happened here as well. But very in awe of Reva's family, and glad that they were able to create their foundation. And I hope they're able to continue to do good work through that as well. And I know you said we were done saying his name, but as this is still active, I hope he goes back to prison, to be honest with you. You're right about him missing his peak. Him not getting back to that level. Your athletic peak is at a very short window, and his was probably passing at the time of this anyway. So I don't expect to see him in the Olympics ever again. I don't know what he's doing with his life, hopefully trying to make amends and support people in his community and be an inspiration. But until he shows remorse, I'm not going to put a lot of stock into anything that comes out of his mouth.
I'm going to change the subject from what he did that was awful to something that I found interesting about the Olympics, if that's cool.
Yeah.
This is just, this can just be two guys talking about the Olympics. So we talked about that he ran in the Olympics for like the, I think it's called the Para Olympics.
Yeah.
So he ran in that. Then he did some events with the regular Olympics. Did you know that he was banned from the Olympics for being too good? They tried to prove that his prosthetic legs did enhance his performance to a point that it was an advantage over other athletes.
Well, you mentioned it. They do look like they have a spring element to them. So it's not to be able to measure the force of that compared to human muscles is science that I'm not prepared to discuss, but I'm not shocked by that.
Yeah. So that was interesting to me that a guy with no legs, but with prosthetics was too fast and too good to be in the regular Olympics. Cause it was it would be like me taking steroids, I guess.
And yeah, you're right. It's certainly an enhancement. I don't know if that was intentionally him trying to get an advantage or be at his best. And then what does that look like when somebody does have lack of an ability in some way and we're able to scientifically repair that to a point where it's better? We don't need to get into all of that, but I think that's happening in a lot of places around the world with competition. And we have no evidence that competition's what drove him to do this. I think we see a guy with a lot of problems, a lot of aggression, and very little responsibility with obviously firearms, but with anything that can cause danger to other people. But as he noted, he didn't want to shoot himself. So he was very aware of the deadly capabilities of the weapon, but didn't really care what ended up happening to whoever was in that bathroom. And it ended up being his girlfriend, Reva. So
he had some other issues too, that we didn't talk about in the main part of our conversation, but he did have a prior DV situation where he pushed a girl. I don't know that that was Reva. I think it was someone else, but you know, with the firearm issues and then with the other DV issue, like it's pretty clear he knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
And,
to some degree that's preventable. And I know and even if he didn't have access to weapons, who knows what kind of violence he could have been capable of, but a very tragic case, timely in that the Olympics are happening right now, but also, a word of caution, be careful with weapons. Even if you feel safe, if there was a incident in our community recently where somebody passed away due to a gunshot wound when people were not taking care to stay safe with a firearm. And even if you feel like you trust somebody with it, always be on guard and make sure everybody is giving deadly weapons the respect they deserve and the precautions that are necessary.
Yeah. And I hope that if you are someone with anger issues that you get some help, because there is help out there for you.
And if you have anger issues and carry a firearm, maybe be ready to make the decision of if you're angry, you leave that at home.
Yeah.
I think that's a good call.
Yeah. Or leave it with a buddy until your anger is over. Yes,
absolutely. So we appreciate you guys. Despite the story, hope you can enjoy watching the Olympics. Hope you've enjoyed our bonus content lately. We just released a bonus episode with the young ladies at Safely. Great products for self-defense. Make sure you check them out. Use the word Crimecast at checkout for 10% off.
Yeah, that's a really cool product. And, you know, if you are someone who needs the protection, and I think everybody does, I think just being in public nowadays, you always need something to de-escalate a bad situation. So if you don't want to carry a firearm, carry some products that are made by Safely. I think you'll be really, really pleased with their product.
And in case you missed that episode, they also give a lot of best practices about keeping yourself aware and safe. So go check that out. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of True Crime to Go.
Until next crime, this has been True Crimecast.
Listen to True Crimecast. distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.